going to talk about that a little bit, go over a little bit what we did, and just kind of share some of the ways that we saw God working. So before we do that, as we were getting ready for our trip, Tommy was reading and found a verse in Romans that kind of became our encouragement. So I'd like to share that with you this morning. So that verse comes out of Romans 15, and Dave has it up there, verses 5 and 6. And that reads, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, as we're prepping and planning to go to Brazil, this verse basically fully encapsulates what we were going to do. Here in a minute, we're going to talk about kind of our goals for the trip, and you will see how that kind of aligns as we go through a little presentation this morning. Just before we get started, this picture here, how is it? EO? EO Heart, AU Heart Fama is just I Heart Fama. Fama is just a little small town outside of Alfenas. We were there, so we had the opportunity to spend an afternoon there. And fun fact, it is home of the largest man-made lake in the world. And it was beautiful.
So next part, how did we end up in Brazil? So just kind of short story of kind of how this all connects. So it was a United in Christ Ministries trip, which that's where we do all of our Mexico missions through that ministry. But this man, Jose, is from Brazil. And back in 2015, he went to Mexico and he met Mark and Chacho, that are the founders of United in Christ. They got connected, and eventually Mark and Chacho went and visited Brazil. And because of Jose, there's now two churches that are now under the United in Christ ministry umbrella and consider themselves a part of the ministry. And so Jose was kind of the connection that got it all started. And he's also the person that took care of all of our lodging and took care of all of our transportation. He was basically with us the entire trip and basically gave up, like literally took 2 weeks off of work to come be with us the entire time, which was awesome. He's such a fun guy, and it was really cool to get to know him a little bit. And it was also interesting because he does not speak that much English. So trying to relay things or when plans changed and trying to communicate. Luckily, he does speak Spanish, which is helpful because we had Chacho and several other people with us that spoke Spanish. So that was kind of how we ended up going to Brazil and how the ministry got connected. Next slide.
What were our team goals? So planning this trip, we spent probably 25 to 30 hours with our team of nine to 10 people, depending on the day. The people planning and developing this trip, and we have three overarching themes of what we were trying to do. So the first, of course, is to, as Drew was talking earlier, to go and share the gospel, that great commission statement. The second was to encourage the local churches in Brazil. We traveled 4,000 miles to see them, so that alone was an encouragement, but throughout the week, time we spent, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, also adds on to that. And then lastly, we were there to kind of just share our experiences over the last 10, 11 years, and our team as well, who's also been doing missions for quite a bit, just sharing them with them ways that they can just engage their local community and just get outside of their walls.
And kind of teach them a little bit about how we've been missional, how can they do that same thing, but in Brazil was kind of part of it.
Yeah, so going back to those verses out of Romans, you know, being together, we chose those. So it's in Romans, so it's Paul writing, And he's telling the church to be unified, to live in harmony, to glorify God with one voice. And most of our goals kind of align with aligning with the Brazilian churches in unity. Not trying to tell them what to do, but to encourage them and to just share with them ideas of what to do. And just part of just speaking on unity, so this is a picture of the church CMA, which is Jose's church in Alfenas. And as you can see, there are five flags there. This is everywhere United in Christ Ministry has a church or an outreach. So if you don't know your flags, going from left to right, that is Israel, India, Brazil, Mexico, and the United States. So just another reminder of, like, this is in their church. Like, these are, they're praying for not just themselves, but everywhere that the mission
has. Yeah, and the other church has the same flags. Like, in both places that we went, we just happened to put this one. All right, next slide.
So looking at those goals, we'll talk about how we met them, first in Alfenas, then in Mococa. So the first place we went to was Alfenas, the church we just saw, which is the biggest church. And really the first night we were there, we... Am I losing? Hold on. You want to just switch to Deanna's mic? Okay, we'll try that now. And the first night we were there, we hosted a men's and women's night. So members of our team planned and designed a time just to come alongside the men and women of the church, get to know them. For the men, we talked about Paul a lot. I shared a really just rudimentary way how to share the gospel, just using a little wooden cross, and talked about forgiveness, and that was really impactful for them. And it was just a time for us just to come alongside and get to know them, hang out with them as we were starting our weekend missions with them.
Yes. And then one of our next events was we did an event at a public plaza. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But basically we had planned, we did like a flash mob dance to the church clap song. We had a wordless skit where we kind of went through kind of a gospel presentation almost, where it's like a girl going through all these different hard things, and then Jesus comes in at the end and is the only thing that can truly fulfill her. And then we had like some testimonies, and we shared the gospel, and it was just supposed to be kind of a time where we invited people from the public, and then of course a lot of the people from the church also came, and just kind of doing that goal of sharing the gospel. And so that was one of our events that we did as well.
As adding on to that, so the wife of the, I'm going to call the youth pastor, also shared a testimony during that time, and Marcos, the local pastor, invited people to church while we were out there. So we were already getting them plugged in on that first event. And then the next night, Rochelle hosted a missions class at the church that kind of we invited them all to. And her message was talking about just how they could be, how many people in Brazil specifically were unreached, and ways that they could engage with them. And kind of her whole thing kind of boiled down to, as members of the church, there are really three areas where you can be involved. And the first one of those is that you can pray for those in your communities that are doing missions work, for those who are unsaved. You can give to those people in those areas, or you can go. So those are really the three fundamentals of missions. So maybe not everybody could go, but you can pray, or you can give, or you can go.
And kind of the last big event that we did was a kids event, and that's what's on the picture that's up on the screens right now. And as you can see, this was later in the day, and the shadows and the shade had moved, and all the people had moved. It was a big event where we had trampolines, and we had bouncy houses. We had games. There was cotton candy machines, popcorn machines. We had face painting, balloon animals. And so it was kind of like a carnival type theme. And then we did kids' songs. We did our dance again. We did our skit again. And then we also did, at the end, have like a gospel presentation, invited people to, we kind of went through like the a prayer for if anyone wanted to invite God into their heart. A few people did come up and accept Christ, and that was really cool. But the coolest part was that there were some of the people from that area that did end up coming to their church the next Sunday after that event. And this is a kind of a lower income area. And so the kids were very excited and the people were really engaged in it. So it was really cool. And I think it also was very encouraging for the church there that they realized like we could do events like this more often. And I think it was just all around a really good time. Also, a lot of the kids there were very excited to see people from the U.S. because most of them had never seen anyone from the U.S. before. So we were like this spectacle. We were very excited that we were there. But it was very successful, I feel like, event, and it was a really good time.
Yeah. Some of the kids, as we were like setting up, literally ran home going, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Americans!"
True story.
So that was funny.
So now we're going to just like share a few kind of specific things in Alphanus that just stood out to us as far as with ways God was working, except this picture is really just for fun.
Yeah.
But.
So this picture is more or less like right out of our front door from where we were staying. So it's just a brief glimpse into the beauty that is Brazil. In reality, anywhere we went was gorgeous. It was a great representation of God's creation. And you can see a little bit different architecture. And then this is, of course, us with Marcos and Christina. They are the pastors of the CCMA church in Alphanus. And them and their family were just the sweetest. They took care of us most of the week. They invited us to our house one night for dinner after we were at the church. And I was really impressed with Marcos. So during the missions class that Rochelle taught, we were getting ready for our kids' outreach the next day, and I've never seen a pastor do this, but Rochelle gets done talking, and he gets up here and literally goes, like, "Drew, I know you're not working on Sunday. You can come. Brian, you can come. Lindsay, I know you're available. Like, I'm expecting to see you guys at this outreach." And it was just full calling out his congregation, like, "Hey, I know you can be here. I'm expecting you to show up." So it's really great to see that in a leadership capacity of the church, just knowing that the leadership cares about being engaged in their community and wants their congregation to be involved. And this is Dacio. His wife, Bianca, is who gave the testimony at our plaza outreach, but he is their youth pastor. I do youth in air quotes because for their, like, youth outreach, it's really, like, between the ages of, like, 18 and 40, which was really cool to see because I feel like specifically that age group sometimes gets lost in translation in the United States. So it's kind of cool that they have a group of 20 to 30 people who are, you know, my age, who are getting together on a weekly basis.
Like, and youth group, too.
Like youth group. Just having fun and learning about God. And you can see he's sporting his new pair of GCF glasses. Okay.
All right, next slide. All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit more about the plaza event. So this was the area that we did it. So this was the first day we were in Alphanus, and we spent some time just kind of in the area praying. And then we also were just kind of checking it out to see, like, what did it look like? What are we going to do? There's, like, kind of this weird little stage area, but we were like, we'll just do our stuff in front so we're not crammed and we can use the steps because we had a few times during our skits where we wanted to sit. So we were like, perfect, we have these steps that we can sit on. This will be great. So then next slide. So 2 days later when we were doing our event, this is what the space looked like. There was a car show that weekend that we didn't know about, and they were setting up for it. And so there's, like, this stage, there's all these ladders. You can see there's, like, some materials and stuff in the background. They were still working on it, so they're, like, making noise and all this stuff. So you can see there's a kind of a group of people that are kind of more the leaders, and we're trying to figure out what we should do. We're like, is there going to be something going on during the time we were going to do this? Can we even do it here? Are they going to make us move? Can we just do it in front of the stage? There was a lot of possibilities. And So I know both of us, and I think a lot of people in the group were kind of just like, yeah, let's just not do it. Because it would have been really easy. This was the first time we were going to do like our dance in front of people, the first time we were going to do the skit in front of people. Will and I were doing the testimony at that event. So it was really easy to just be like, yeah, let's just not do it. Because I know we were all very nervous. And so a big part of me, I never said it out loud, but I just was like, let's just not do it. It'll be fine. Like, we don't need to do it, because I was getting very, very nervous, very anxious about it. And then on the next slide, the group of us that weren't like the main leaders making the decisions decided to kind of group up and start praying. And so we just kind of started praying about it, and about what we should do and whatever we were supposed to do. And just soon after that, they came over and they decided we were going to do our event. We're just going to do it in front of the stage, and do it the best we can. Unless they kick us out, like, we're just going to do it, because they thought that they weren't really planning on using the space for the car show until the next day. So we went out and invited people in the area to come to the event right beforehand, just anybody that was sitting around. And so we invited people, and then we did our event. And as we were doing it, and then once we got done, it just felt really silly at the beginning to not want to do it, because it was great. I feel like it went really well. It wasn't like as big of a deal, and it felt like that's what we were supposed to have done. And it was just like, why were we not just like trusting that whatever God was going to do is going to be great? And so it was just one of those moments where it was really easy to just not do it. But like, part of the reason we wanted to go on this trip specifically was because we wanted to get out of our comfort zone more. We'd been to Mexico. We've done those trips a lot. So we've kind of gotten in a groove, and those trips seem easy now. But this was way different. And there was a lot more stuff that we were doing in front of people that we're not used to doing. And so it was really easy to just be like, we don't really want to do this. But then it was just so much better that we did, and it just felt like that's exactly what we were supposed to do. And it was like, why aren't we just obeying? The whole reason we came here to do this was to spread, you know, the gospel more as well. So it was just one of those ways where God was definitely working on our hearts, and making us realize, like, how silly it was to be so anxious about it, because it really wasn't that big of a deal.
It's almost like he says, be anxious for nothing in the Bible.
Almost, yeah. All right, and then next picture. So this picture is just one of our almost group pictures. Jose is not in it, but also all the way to the right is in the blue is Reuben. And so he was a young man that was a part of the church. His parents go to the church in Alfenas, he was 18 years old, and he kind of started hanging out with our group a lot, because he worked just down the block from where we stayed, from where we were living. So he would just like come over before or after work, and he'd kind of come hang out with us. He eventually even learned our church GLAP mob dance, and he did it with us at the kids' event as well. And so what was cool about that was, what we didn't really know is, first of all, Reuben was a little bit quiet. He did know a little bit of English, so that was good. And he kind of, once he got towards the end of the week, he was a little bit more talkative, and once he got to know us a little bit. But the people in the church, and especially his parents, were like shocked that he did the dance with us, because they were like, that's not something that he would do. He was a really quiet kid. Not necessarily, like, he would go to church, but maybe not necessarily as involved in things. And so I feel like a goal that we didn't know we had was to just be an encouragement to Reuben. I feel like we had a really big impact on him without even really knowing it. We just, you know, he just hung out with us, and we did what we were going to do. So that was just another really cool God moment of God just, like, using us in a way that we weren't expecting. And after we were done with our part of the trip in Alfenas, he really wanted to come with us to Makoka, but unfortunately he could not because he had other responsibilities. But yeah, it was really cool to just get to know Reuben, and for our team to kind of be a good encouragement for him as well.
Yeah, we had one day where we were shopping, and Jose had to run to his house in Fama, which was like 45 minutes away. So it actually worked out great, because Reuben had been hanging out with us, and he was able to go with us and translate for us, and just show us around town. And had we not met him and had him there, like, we would have been fumbling through downtown alone, which we could do, but it's always easier when you have someone who actually speaks the language. So this picture is another kind of group photo. I just kind of want to highlight two people who kind of just made our life so much easier in Alfenas. The first one is Daniel. He's there on the bottom with the little circle around him. He's Brazilian and speaks English as a second language. He's a software engineer. And I don't know if I've ever had somebody translate for us in Mexico or anywhere as well as he did. Mm-hmm. He was so good with, like, voice inflections, and he was just literally a godsend. And then Tanya, who is kind of there in the middle, she's actually from Peru. So Spanish is her first language. She went to school and learned English, and then she married Adriana, who's kind of there in the front right, who is Brazilian. So she was translating for us from Brazil to Portuguese, which are neither of which are her first language. So, yeah, English to Portuguese, neither of which are her first language. So she was a rock star as well. Mm-hmm. We wish we could have taken both of them to Mococa, but it was really cool just looking at the aspect of unity. So both Tanya and Daniel don't go to the CCMA church where we were doing stuff. They go to church just elsewhere in Alfenas. So that's just a really cool glimpse at, like, how churches in, like, Brazil were still being involved even though we were there working with one church.
Yeah, that was really cool. All right.
Okay. So then looking at, so we were in Alfenas for a little over a week.
Yeah.
8 days or so. Then we went a couple hours west to Mococa. And there we did some very similar things. But the experiences while doing those were fundamentally pretty different. So we still did a missions class at the church. But this time, because we were lacking on translators, instead of going from English to Portuguese, we went from Spanish to Portuguese, which was, I wouldn't say a struggle for Rochelle, but just different.
And we
I'll also just point out that this church is also, I would say, I want to use the word conservative. Like, the first church we went to in Alfenas, I could show up like this and it'd be fine. And in Mococa, like, we wore slacks and shirts with ties and much more formal. So I think even just having a woman speaking in front of them was maybe a little bit different than what they're used to there. Go ahead.
And then we did do a kids event. That was very similar to Alfenas. We did a lot of the same things. The only thing that was a little bit different is that we had this, what we called the party bus, which is in the background of this picture of us doing our dance. And so it's just like this big open bus where we could stand on it, and there was a platform and there was a sound system. And so before the event, we drove around the neighborhood, and there was a little like announcement system, and so we went around just like announcing our event right beforehand. So that was an interesting experience. But the kids event itself was very similar to what we did in Alfenas.
Yeah, and then later in the week we did a fairly similar event at their church there, which was kind of cool because a lot of the kids had seen it from the park outreach before. But one thing that was kind of different and kind of stood out above all of the kids' outreaches is when we were doing our skit at the end, Bethany would hold up a white cross that said Jesucristo on it. And at the church, all the kids just started shouting Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that was just like, oh, this is new and exciting.
Yeah, they were really into the skit both times they saw it. One thing that was really, I thought was something that was really cool that we got to do in Mococa is we got to go pray for the mayor of Mococa. He's also a Christian, and he knows the pastor of the church, and so it was just really cool. We have a picture later on, but we got to just, like, go into the city office and just go pray for the mayor and the city, and so it was really cool that they just let this random group of people from the U.S. go in and pray, and it was that was kind of a unique experience as well. So that was kind of a cool thing that we got to do in Mococa.
Yeah, and then probably the other kind of major thing that kind of stood out in Makoka is one of our last nights there. So the place we were staying was kind of old, but it still had a pool, and which that pool's another story because it was literally the best thing about the week because it was 100 degrees that week we were there. We had no AC in our house. So it was a very welcome refreshment at the end of the day. Four people got baptized while we were there, kind of intentionally while we were there, and they could use the pool, which was really cool that they would just wait to do that so that we could be a part of it. So Jason and Chacho are there in the picture. They actually got to be involved in the actual baptismal process, so that was kind of cool for them to get to experience that in different culture, different language, and yeah, that was just really cool to be part of, and it was really cool. So they did like a confessional, and they baptized. Then after each person got baptized, they would sing like a song, which was kind of cool. And then the next person would go. So everybody had like their own little moment, even though multiple people were getting baptized.
All right. There's one picture. It's not extremely significant. And also, Will and I accidentally wore the same shirt on that day. But we were on the party bus. And so this is like one of the stories, the main things that stood out in Makoka. So this was like our first day. This is before we were doing our kids event. And like you said, it was very hot. And it was our first night sleeping without AC, which wasn't actually as bad as I thought it was going to be honest. But we were just very tired. We had traveled several hours the day before, and you know, we've been in Brazil now for a while, so like we were just kind of you could feel that we were getting tired, and the energy levels were maybe not where they should be. And so we're going on this party bus, and I'm just like thinking about that, and I'm thinking about how hot it is. I'm like, are people even going to show up? Are we going to be as energized as we should be? And as we're on the bus, then it starts raining. Like almost right after I was thinking that. And it wasn't like a super heavy rain, but it's kind of a light rain. And it like, I don't know, I feel like it kind of rejuvenated us all a little bit because it was a little bit cooler at that point. And so then it kind of started getting closer and closer to the actual event time. And then I started thinking, well, oh no, are we even going to be able to do everything? Because now it's going to be raining. Like we have a craft. We can't do the craft if it's raining. And like, I don't want it to be like slick if we're trying to do our dance. Like I'm just like going through all these things. And then like 10 minutes before we were supposed to start, the rain stopped. It was cooler, I feel like, than it was before, and it wasn't as humid as I thought it might be, and I just felt like it was God just being like, I still got you, like, this is fine. I feel like it definitely kind of helped that whole event in general, just for it to cool down a little bit. So that was just one of the moments that stood out specifically for me, because I felt like it was something that I was kind of thinking about, and then God was just like, I got this, it'll be fine. So that was really cool, a really cool moment. And then you can skip, yeah.
Is that you or me?
It's me, but I don't have a whole lot more to say. This was just us at the office with the mayor when we were praying for him. We didn't have a lot of pictures with the pastors there, but in the gray in the middle is the pastor of the church, and then two over, which direction is that?
Blue,
to the right, yeah. I was like, Jason's also kind of wearing blue. But in the light blue was the mayor, and then there was a couple other people from the offices in there, and then the rest of our group. But yeah, that was just us praying for the mayor. And he did end up coming to church on Sunday as well, because we were there, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
also.
I'll add in here. So in the middle in the red, the mayor was very adamant that we called him Big Sugar, as his nickname.
About that.
And I think he goes to Novo Tempo, the church that we were working with, and like he like got up and like sang like a special thing for the offering. So that was kind of cool that we first saw him in the mayor's office, and then on Sunday he was singing for the offering. So that was kind of cool.
All right.
Okay. So kind of as we start to wrap up here, just talking about the spirit of unity. So I think this was the baptism night that we got to hang out.
It was like the first night, but
yeah. So either way, one of the nights, most of the church actually came over to our house. We had a little bit of an outdoor space in a courtyard, And we just kind of just got to hang out for a bit. So this is Tommy and I teaching them how to play pool correctly.
Hey, they just play different than us.
Yeah, they just play different than us. They played like odds and evens versus solids and stripes. It was kind of weird. But looking at the scripture we were talking about, you know, verses 5 and 6 talk about encouragement and harmony and unity. And then verse 7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And I feel like the people of Brazil that we met with, I couldn't describe a better verse for how we were treated while we were there. Just them coming alongside of us and taking care of us and just getting us things we need, whether it was blankets or food or just fellowship together. It was a testament to kind of where they're at with faith and outreach to just some people from the U.S. who came down to spend a week with them. So that was just super sweet and special that we got to spend that time with them, and that they kind of went above and beyond and out of their way just to make sure that we were comfortable over there. Even though while we were coming down there to kind of encourage them and hang out with them and meet them, that they saw it as an opportunity that they could kind of do the same back to us. So it's just a good example of just the spirit of unity.
All right. Last slide here. All right. So it was super amazing, and we saw God get to work in a lot of different ways, and it was very cool to not only be a part of this Brazil trip and go somewhere a little bit farther, a little bit outside of what we were used to, but also to be a part. This is like this was the first United in Christ like actual mission trip to Brazil. They had small groups go just like to check in, and Mark and Chacho have gone, but this was the first actual missions trip with a team. To go to Brazil, and so it was just really cool to be a part of that. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you for prayers, encouragements, asking about the trip, the support, financial support. There's no way we would have been able to do all of this without all of you guys. And so we're just very thankful and grateful for that. It was an amazing experience, and it was really cool to get to experience all those things and just see the way God was working, see another culture and how they do things, and even just between the two churches, how differently they did things. And so it was just really, really awesome, and we're very thankful and blessed to have been able to go on that trip. And so we're just going to end in a little prayer and wrap this up. So you can bow your heads with me. Lord, I just thank you again for everybody that helped support us, Lord. And I thank you for this opportunity. I want to pray for the churches in Brazil, Lord, that they would continue to be encouraged and that they would continue to reach their people, Lord, as they are there, and they're there to reach those people, and they can do it way better than we can. And then I pray for our church here that we continue to reach more people as well, Lord, both in our community and out even farther, like Drew talked about earlier. And I just pray that we all have a sense of unity within our church, with other churches in our community, with other churches across the world, Lord. And so I just pray that we continue to keep that in mind and continue to keep missions on our heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.